Ukraine's President Volodymyr Zelensky has set a somber tone for the third anniversary of Russia's full-scale invasion. In a short video, he praised Ukrainians for their sacrifices and honoured those who have died. The head of the EU Commission, Ursula von der Leyen, and the Canadian Prime Minister, Justin Trudeau, were among those who travelled to Kyiv for the anniversary. It comes at a time of huge uncertainty, with Donald Trump casting existing American policy aside and appearing to blame the war on Ukraine. Here's some of what Mr. Zelensky said to that gathering of leaders.
Today, we all know that this is an absolutely unprovoked and criminal war by Russia against Ukraine, an aggressive war. Just as it was then, today it is important not to hide this knowledge and to call things by their proper names. Any effective resistance of the people in war is based precisely on the awareness of truth. The truth that unites people in the country and everyone in the world who supports it.
At this time 3 years ago, Ukraine was under attack as Vladimir Putin ordered his troops across the border in what's become the biggest conflict in Europe since the Second World War. We can hear now some of the sounds from that day. Today's gathering in Ukraine comes less than a week after the Trump administration held face-to-face talks with Russia. Ukraine and the rest of Europe were sidelined. Speaking this morning, the Czech president, Petr Pavel, said any peace deal must involve Ukraine.
A peace built on the humiliation of the victim, one that rewards Russia for its aggression, would not be a true peace. It would be a betrayal. We Czechs know all too well what such a betrayal feels like, having experienced it with the 1938 Munich Agreement. Any deal must be negotiated and accepted by Ukraine.
Other leaders, including Taoiseach Micheál Martin, joined the meeting by phone. He pledged continuing support for Ukraine.
I took the opportunity to pay a warm tribute to President Zelensky himself, because I can recall 3 years ago, at the European Union Council on the eve of the invasion, when President Zelensky took the decision to stand his ground, to stay in Kyiv and to lead his people in defending their sovereignty and their territorial integrity. And that was an act of leadership that made a difference. And I also spoke about the resilience and courage of the Ukrainian people. I spoke about our need to think of all those who've lost their lives in this brutal war, all the children who have been abducted, and the need for Europe and others to hold firm, to stay unified. I pushed and again articulated my view that we need to accelerate Ukraine's membership of the European Union. I committed Ireland to increase its financial aid on all fronts, and there will be an emergency summit of the EU Council on the 6th of March. Ireland, we will attend that, obviously, and there will be further proposals on the table from the European Commission, as revealed today, and President Costa. And again, Ireland will be supportive of those measures, which will indicate strong support for Ukraine, because in any negotiations, peace can only be achieved through strength, but also it's important that to remind ourselves that the objectives that Russia set itself have not been achieved, and Russia cannot be rewarded for its illegal invasion. And my final overall point is that for small countries like Ireland, our only ultimate security is rooted in the international rules-based order. There can be no other real basis for the security of smaller nations across the world, and that's why Ukraine's defence of itself and its sovereignty is so important to small nations like Ireland and others across the world.
Micheál Martin speaking a short time ago. We can go now to Kyiv, from where we're joined by the Financial Times correspondent Christopher Miller. Christopher, can you bring us through what's been happening in the city today?
Sure. Well, today does mark 3 years, 1,097 days since Russia's full-scale invasion. So there are several memorials that have occurred here in Kyiv, in other cities like Kharkiv and Odessa. We've actually been joined by several EU leaders, as you mentioned, and high-profile visitors here in Kyiv who are holding conferences and also meeting with Ukrainian leadership. We saw President Zelensky today. Walk them through some of the memorials in central Kyiv. You know, ordinary Ukrainians, for them, it's a somber day. You know, they are certainly, you know, recalling what happened three years ago and how much their lives have changed. It's obviously been a dramatic and significant change from the lives that they led on February, or you know, before February of 24th last year. Or, sorry, 3 years ago.
Did the leaders bring anything with them? I mean, is there any new support for Ukraine?
Right. I think that's part of what is being discussed today. I'm trying to find consensus on where to go forward here. Certainly, there are discussions about potential peacekeeping operations, security guarantees that Volodymyr Zelensky has discussed with them and what he would like to have here, including boots on the ground at the end of any ceasefire negotiations to help deter future Russian aggression. So he's holding those conversations with leaders here today. I think they're also discussing future financial help, security assistance, as well as political and diplomatic support. They're also trying to use and leverage these relationships with EU leaders to get the Americans on their side. One of the big challenges facing Ukraine and President Zelensky right now is getting Donald Trump to come around to supporting the Ukrainians to the greatest extent that they can, especially when they re-engage with the Russians to find an end to this war.
At the same time as opening up talks with Russia, Donald Trump has been pushing Ukraine to do a deal on natural resources. What's America looking for and what's it likely to get?
Well, Donald Trump has thrown out what is sort of this arbitrary number of $500 billion that he says America is owed. President Volodymyr Zelensky yesterday said in this marathon press conference that he could see how America might be owed $100 billion, which is roughly the amount that has been provided in security assistance. But just to note, much of that, around 90% or so, has actually been provided by the United States in the form of grants, not loans. So a lot of it is not necessarily meant to have been paid back. But this is what Donald Trump wants in this minerals deal, is to get hundreds of billions of dollars in return for assistance already provided to Ukraine. Now, Ukraine is negotiating and trying to get future security assistance and military aid into this deal. And the latest version that I have just viewed just shortly ago and published about in the Financial Times does not include future security assistance. So the Ukrainians are saying that they're close to the final stages now of this deal, and they're still not getting in this deal what they hope to get out of it.
Christopher Miller of the Financial Times, thank you for joining us from Kyiv. Well, more than 100,000 Ukrainians have received temporary protection in this country. Many are here since the early days of the Russian invasion. Today, a job fair aimed specifically at refugees is taking place at Croke Park in Dublin. Around 40 employers are taking part. Our work and technology correspondent Brian O'Donovan has been speaking to Ukrainians looking for work. One of them is Tofa Admirov.
I come here in 2023, in October. I'm looking job now in Ireland. I see too much opportunity here, but I know I need to improve my English for this. And now I'm study. Yeah. After study, I hope I'm looking good job for me. Yeah. I'm very grateful for Ireland give me this opportunity, stay here and help me with the difficult, the terrible time in my life. Yeah, it's maybe chance to make your life again, yeah, in the another country. Not looking for this opportunity to back in Ukraine, yeah, because it's dangerous. And even afterward, we don't know how many times you need to build this life.
And that was Tofa Admirov. He was speaking to our correspondent Brian O'Donovan this morning.